Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From restaurant openings and discounts on bars and hotels to beauty and fashion offers, Sheerluxe partners with London's best venues, suppliers and brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. And this month, we're offering new annual sign-ups a free 111 Skin Space Antioxidant Booster worth £85. Or trial VIP and get 2 months free access using the code VIPX2 at checkout. For more information, visit SheerLuxVIP.com.
Welcome to the Sheerluxe Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Laura Black, Tamara Corrin, and Lisa Potter-Dixon. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. If I sound a little worse for wear today, it is because it was my hen this weekend. So I'm trying really hard this morning. But yeah, I've got a bit of recovery to do, I think, over the next few weeks.
Did you have fun?
I had so much fun.
What did you do?
So much fun. We stayed in London because the wedding's abroad. So I didn't want everybody to have to give up too much time dedicated to me. So Friday night was just a civilised night at my mum's. Saturday there were numerous activities, a big dinner and a big night out.
Did you know about any of it, or was it surprise?
I knew that I was being picked up on Saturday morning and dropped off home again on Sunday.
I love that.
I must just tell you about how they did Mr. and Mrs., because obviously the usual format for that game is that they sit down the groom in advance and they ask him questions and you both have to get the answer that matches up. But instead of just asking usual questions, they did a Sheerluxe themed one. So they sat him down and said, Charlotte has given the answer to all of these questions in Sheerluxe videos at some point, and you have to get them right. So everybody played, which was really fun. So everyone had a pen and paper, and it was things like, what does Charlotte think should be made illegal? What does Charlotte think is important for a good relationship? And all stuff that I have apparently said. I mean, I had no idea on some of them as well. We do a lot of video content, but stuff that I've said between behind the scenes and the show and all of that.
So good, but your friends must have trawled through.
That's a lot of research.
They must be sick of the sight of me and the sound of my voice. And there was stuff that I think was in the podcast as well. So yeah, I mean, they really know their Sheerluxe back catalog.
How did he do?
Quite badly, but so did I.
Oh, yeah.
I say a lot of stuff. Like, there's a lot of me out there. But yeah, it was really, really fun. But I'm feeling, as I say, a little jaded.
Can we just talk about your outfit?
We can. I took about 47 different things with me on the hen. We did a proper fashion show before. The pink PVC dress, I was going for like a Kylie Jenner look, but it turns out I do not have her body. So although everybody else did think it was a fun option.
Could you move in it?
No, that's why I didn't wear it. No. It wasn't for me. It was a bit sweaty as well. PVC dress.
And it smelled when it came into the office.
Well, that was the silver skirt as well.
Which I did wear.
And I bought a beaded top from Zara that was like, you know, the shrimps bags, like those little top handle bags. So it was like a top version of those bags. It was that really heavy beading. I mean, I'm really glad I bought a bra for underneath it because I lost the top within about 3 minutes. It was too heavy, too much.
So I just wore a bra and skirt
for most of the night. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. How was everybody else this weekend? Lisa, have you been doing a lot of travelling recently?
I've been away a lot, yes. And then this weekend, well, I'm feeling a bit delicate too, actually, so I can't really remember what I did. Oh, Friday night, I took the girls out who are the mums. So every 3 months, I make sure the mums go out on a big night out.
Oh, that's so nice.
That is a good friend.
Well, otherwise, they don't. So.
That's really lovely. I like that.
We went to Richmond at like 10 o'clock and it was a bit rubbish. So we ended up going to Oceania in Kingston, which is where we went when we were at uni. Mm-hmm. It's where I met Theo. Honestly, we haven't been there for about 10 years. It's like going to an airport. You had to put everything in a tray, go for a metal detector. Everything was exactly the same. Best thing about it, still do VK Blue and Apple Sours.
That's why you feel
Nine for £20.
Come on.
It wasn't even a student night.
That is criminal.
Yeah, so that was just my drinks. That was Friday night. Saturday, went to Loaf and bought a sofa.
Because
we're redoing our front room and dining rooms.
Loaf are amazing.
So comfy.
So comfy.
And so nice. And they give you free ice cream.
What?
Oh, yes. They do.
Well, always.
I don't know, but I did spend a lot of money, so I've got to And then yesterday I was bored, so I persuaded my friends to go out to the pub quiz and we drank lots of Prosecco.
Great.
So yeah, it was actually quite a good weekend, actually, and I've forgotten.
Thanks for reminding me.
Well, we did have some sunshine yesterday, and that leads very nicely on to our first topic of the day, which is best facial SPFs. I mean, Lisa, tomorrow, I feel like you're all going to have a lot to say on this. Tomorrow, how essential actually is SPF?
I'm so big on SPF. I mean, I tell everyone that is the number one thing to use. People think I'm absolutely mad when it comes to like putting 50 on my face, even in the dead of the winter. When I see sunburn, sometimes I see people and I'm like, oh my God, you have no idea what you're doing to your skin. Mm-hmm. And it actually bothers me. It bothers me so much. Mm-hmm. I've also seen a lot of friends and people I know. I've seen what a difference it has done to their skin over the years.
Really?
Yeah, I really, like, you can see they have aged, you know, much quicker than me or someone that uses SPF the whole time. I think when people bang on about it's the number one, it's the number one. It is the number one. But I think also people are very much, oh, it's in makeup, I don't need to use it. You know, it's raining, it's cloudy, it's whatever, I only need to use it, you know, strong in the sun or I'm on holiday or something. It's just not true.
Yeah. It's in your moisturiser.
It's in my moisturiser.
And it's in your makeup.
I wear it separately.
Me too, SPF 50 every day.
So do I. So when do you put that on?
I basically put it on before my moisturiser, just because with sun cream sometimes it can be a little bit thick. So then I put my moisturiser on because then I find my makeup sits better. But, you know, it's for the UVA and the UVB rays. So like you're saying, when it's cloudy and people are saying, you don't need it, you do, because it's not about the sun necessarily. It's about the rays that are coming through and damaging your skin.
Sorry, so just to be absolutely clear, use actual sun cream.
Yeah, every day.
Wow. Yeah. What do you do?
No, it's in my moisturiser and my makeup. So I've just naively thought... That's enough.
I always think in the moisturiser, because usually 15, right, in the moisturiser or your makeup.
So mine's a 50.
Well, that's good.
That's really good.
But I would personally still. Because when you're putting it into makeup, it almost, I find, breaks down what it's supposed to do slightly. Okay. You know, the sun cream is just for the sun protection.
So what's a good light one then? Because I feel like that's a lot of layers before you're getting to your makeup.
And I feel like my makeup wouldn't sit on my face, because if my face is all oily.
I mean, it doesn't have to be heavy layered. You know, it can be, and if it's a good SPF, I think a lot of people think, oh, it's going to be chalky, it's going to be thick, it's going to be gooey. If you go for a really good SPF, you know, you spend a bit of money on it, you need so little. A little goes a long way. You've got good brands out there, and I think it just protects your skin. I mean, I think there's no such thing as too much SPF.
And it's very different now. You're right. A lot of the SPFs used to be really heavy, white, chalky. But now if you look at, like, I would say it wrong, La Roche-Posay. Yeah. Theirs is amazing. It just sinks right into the skin. Brands like Ultrasun, they do ones just for the face. Okay. So when it's a face version, always go for that for the face. And that seems obvious.
You've recommended that before and I've actually written it down. I was like,
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, the Ultrasun one also deal with glitter in it. So. But no, just make sure you get a face one, because otherwise it will be too heavy.
So the Ultrasun one, we've got one in this feature that's the SPF 30, but does it go up to 50?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. And that's only £18.70. I mean, it's not a bargain.
Bare Minerals do a very good one as well. Okay. There's great ones. Murad do a great one as well.
Oh, the Murad City Defence.
Yes,
that is
really
amazing.
Good.
There's loads in this feature, but if you're looking for something a bit more affordable, Rituals, that seems to be a pretty decent price point.
Yeah, Rituals is really good as well. I mean, and also Sarah Chapman, I don't know how much that one is. What's, oh, that's, oh yeah, that's a lot. But, you know, anything by a facialist is going to be good. But yeah, no, I think that you don't have to spend a fortune, and Rituals is a great brand.
Great. Okay, cool. While we're on the topic of beauty, I had a special request from a friend this week who wanted to know about the best makeup brushes. Is that a really wide question?
It is pretty wide, but for me, Japanese-made brushes are always the best. They're the most expensive as well, though, so it depends if you really want to invest or not. The Wayne Goss brushes are amazing, but I would say if you want something more affordable, I really like Zoeva.
Okay.
They're really good as well, and you can't go wrong with MAC.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah.
Like, for tools, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, their 217 brush for eyeshadow is like always forever the best. But I think anything Japanese. The other thing is I go to art shops.
And do you?
Yeah, so I'll buy brushes from art shops.
Oh, like paint brushes.
Yeah, paint brushes. Because they've got long handles, and I always work with my hands at the end of the brush because you have a softer touch. So when you're blending, you get a better blend. The key is, though, is that they come with like a film on them. So I put them in olive oil overnight. So it softens them, and then you wash it out and takes off that kind of artistic, I don't know.
For that bristle.
Yeah, it's kind of like harder. It softens them.
Cool.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Where do you learn this stuff?
Do you just come up with it?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Experimenting with olive oil.
Or making dinner.
I mean, how much cheaper must it be to go into an art shop than in store?
Yeah, brilliant. Gosh, that's so worth trying.
Give it a go.
Wow, my friends will be thrilled. Thank you. Great tip. Next up, we wrote a piece on 13 fun family days out. With May half term just around the corner, what better time to talk about it? And also, what better group to talk about it? Laura, Tamara, when I messaged Lisa saying that there's quite a lot of mum content in here, I said that you have 8 children between you.
Oh, God, that sounds...
Right? Which is
amazing.
A lot.
That's a try.
Yeah,
which is
a
serious
amazing.
Try. So I feel like you are very qualified to recommend good family days out. So where's on the list, Laura?
So I've gone through the list that we featured, and we have just been to Longleat, which was such a success. I don't know if you've done it
tomorrow. I've been before, yeah.
But it was such... I mean, my children are quite young, so, like, monkeys jumping on the car was pretty cool.
So, sorry, I had a lot of people talking about Longleat just before we came in here, but I don't know exactly what it is. What happens there? Is it a zoo?
Yeah, it's a zoo.
You can also drive through it.
Yeah, and it's bonkers that you... Like a mini safari.
It's like a mini safari.
Is that the one? And then there was, like, a river cruise. And there were seals and whatever else jumping. It was such a great day out.
I think you need great weather though, don't you?
That was pretty cold. We were in a car driving through. In fact, it poured with rain.
Okay, there we go.
Added to the drama.
Were they not just saying, I need a snack, I get that when we do anything like in the car?
We'll take some snacks then.
But there's the novelty of like, you didn't have to have your seatbelt.
Yeah, I know, that's also good. Climbing all around.
Just take to loaf for a day out if they want.
Yeah, ice cream.
Tamara, what about you? Where's the best place to take your brood?
I don't know, I went through the list as well, and there's some really great ones on there. I agree with all of them. I've been to most of them. I would always say, like, a park as well. Like, Battersea Park is amazing.
So good.
So great. You can hire bikes. Like, there's a Go Ape there if you want to.
There's
a great cafe. There's Pitch and Park. There's a little petting zoo attached. There's so much to do there. And I also love to get my kids outdoors, you know, unless it's pouring with rain. They're out there. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's good.
Because they need it.
While so much on this list is great, it can be pretty expensive, right?
Totally.
Big fortunes.
There's five or six of you. Oh, my
goodness.
Absolutely.
Totally. Longleat was like a real treat.
Yeah.
That was like a half-term...
Day out.
Yeah. A day out. But at the weekend, Battersea Park, you know.
Yeah, it's great. But I mean, somewhere like London Zoo, I mean, any of these places, it's like 150 quid for me to take the whole family.
Yeah, that's mad.
It's madness. And then you kind of think, oh, could she get away with being three?
Yeah.
Can we put her in a buggy?
Tomorrow, you have five.
I have five, yeah.
Wow, I'm the eldest of 7 kids.
Oh, yeah.
I'm one of six.
But
five
myself.
Now, that is a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot.
Three's a lot now.
Yeah, three's a lot.
Five.
Yeah.
Super mums,
well,
I'll tell you.
Yeah, I think every mum is
a
super mum.
That is very true. Yeah. But when there's five kids,
there's a lot of them to entertain.
Any twins?
But then they entertain each other.
Entertain, stroke, fight.
Oh,
yeah. There's a lot of
fine line.
Yeah.
You've got 4 boys, is that right? And then a girl.
4 boys and a girl,
was the girl last?
No, she's number 4.
Oh, okay.
Fire. She's number 4.
Gosh, that's a lot. How was growing up as 7?
It was interesting. I was fine because I was the eldest in lots of ways, so I got all the new clothes.
Oh, wow, you're the eldest. That's a lot of responsibility as well.
It is. And also you get all of the bad stuff first in terms of like all the rules.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, of course.
And then my sister Dawn got to break all the rules. I was like,
And then number 7 presumably gets
like,
to
break
all the rules.
Honestly, Eddie could not do anything wrong. Like, ever, you know. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's a lot.
But isn't it fab?
It's
brilliant. Family.
You've also got 4 girls. That's also a lot. You've all got big families.
Yeah.
It must be lovely at this age, like, to have that big network around you.
And Christmas and things like that.
Yeah, that's
really
special.
It's really gorgeous.
Yeah, how lovely. And nice when you do have kids as well, then they've got lots of covers.
I agree.
Lots
when they're all the same.
Yeah.
You know, they're very fortunate like that. And I think that's such a gift to give to your kids.
Definitely.
Have all these cousins and things. And I mean, but it's chaos.
But good chaos.
Good chaos. Well, and bad.
So when it comes to family days out, what are your tips? What do you do to make it all run as smoothly as possible?
I'd say loads of snacks.
I was going to say
loads of food. Okay.
Loads of food.
Bribery.
And I think toilets. You've got to make sure there's toilets everywhere.
Yeah. Do you take like your own loo roll with and stuff like that?
No, you don't need to always wipe.
Excessive? Okay.
Wet wipes.
No wipes everywhere.
Wet wipes still come everywhere.
Wet wipes everywhere. I don't know. I think also cafe or something like that for yourself to get a good coffee.
Always. That's like the first stop.
Yeah.
Like 20-minute walk, yeah. A cafe.
Yeah.
And have forward. A plan. I think that's really important. Otherwise, it can just be a bit like chaotic.
Yeah.
They're getting frustrated. You're getting frustrated because you don't really know what you're doing.
I also find that actually, if we do something with another family, everyone's a bit nicer to each other.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, you know, they're entertained just by being with someone else. They're just easier to manage, I think.
I was going to ask about backup. Do you brave taking them all out by yourselves, or do you always make sure there's either another parent or a husband on hand to help out?
I think it depends on the mood of my children. I think if they're in a bad mood, I just don't want to do it so publicly. Mm-hmm. So I'd almost rather just get on with it myself.
Yeah.
But if they are feeling happy, yeah, great, more the merrier.
I think we do a lot all together if we can, because it's hard to just split them up. It's just logistically, it's just hard. So it's just like, right, and we're all doing this. Yeah, there's always one that says, I don't want to go there, I don't want to.
Mm.
And you know what? They all have a great day out. So I just ignore it. Yeah.
Sorry, guys, this is what's happening. Cool. Well, if you are looking for more family friendly activities for May half term, when is May half term? Next week?
Week after.
Week after?
Yeah, week after. And actually, on that note, Kew Gardens are just opening the most enormous new playground. It looks amazing.
Oh, cool.
So that's definitely one.
Actually, hang on. I've not put my 2 pence into this one, but I will. With because I forgot that the Harry Potter Warner Brothers Studio tour is on this list.
It's so good.
It is so good.
My sister actually went on Saturday.
And did she like it?
She said it was pretty.
It's pretty.
I haven't been. Yeah.
I'm not a Harry Potter so fan, cool. So it's not. It's amazing.
I actually don't think you need to be a Harry Potter fan. I think it's the most incredible insight into how they make a movie on that scale and on that production level, and it's just really cool.
It's really fun, and you can have butterbeer.
Yeah, to be fair, it helps a bit if you're a Harry Potter fan, I think. So, on the parenting day out theme, our contributor Helen Whittaker knows the real struggle of being a parent and how planned magical family occasions don't always work out quite how you planned. Have you guys read this piece?
I so enjoyed this piece. I thought it was brilliant. I was like, that is my life. Like, always trying to get the perfect snap. If you can just, like, all look at me or turn around so I can get your backs in high order. Never goes to plan.
So, well, not based on your Instagram. I feel like it sounds very successful. Her piece is basically saying that whether it's a nice photograph or it's a day out, you try and plan these fabulous events and kids will make it go to shit, basically.
Yeah. But then she finishes by saying her happiest moment was yesterday when they met at the train station. Her son asked her to skip all the way home and she didn't take any pictures. She just enjoyed the moment. And it kind of made me think, oh, I'm probably a bit guilty of always trying to document it and actually just enjoy it.
I don't think that's a new thing, though. Like, I remember being little and obviously long before social media days and still having a bloody camera in my face the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, but it was just for photo albums instead of Instagram, wasn't
it? I think it's quite amazing how my kids sort of, like, pose now.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Especially my daughter. She's got a hand on her hand. I was like, just want a very natural picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you move the hand?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's impossible getting five of them to look at the camera or do anything like that. But I do try. I am conscious, actually, of it much more.
Of what? Of trying to be less?
Of trying to get them all doing something all at the same time. There's going to be chaos, you know, and I think that's kind of the joy of it as well. And I don't want them to remember. I think it's a bit more restrictive, isn't it?
I've also got to this stage. I mean, my daughter's nearly five, she's still quite young, but when I look back at photos of when I'm sort of like 7, 8, I mean, gross, I literally hate them. And the idea that people could find those would be a terrifying thought. So I'm now quite conscious of my children, like, getting to the age and looking back.
Do you put your kids on social media?
I have a private one, which I will, but it's more like just documenting it a bit for me, but not on my work one.
But also, you're not a, like, this is them in the bath, this is them eating.
No, once every couple of months, maybe a post. Yeah. I don't really do it very often.
That's hard, isn't it? Because we didn't have that, you know.
No,
and correct. You're right, there is so many pictures of us when we were younger, but they're printed out, although in the loft, you know.
Thank God they are.
Yeah. A lot of them.
Oh, but yeah, kids now, they'll be there forever. Even if you think you've deleted them, they're somewhere, aren't they?
Exactly.
So it's a tricky one.
I've just become a bit conscious of it.
And I think, like, when you're little, it's one thing. When they're little,
when they're cute.
On the hen, there were a load of photos of, like, our teenagers. And I would have been mortified. Yeah, the idea that those could be public. Mm. Even now, like, some of them were putting them on social media. I was like, no, that's not cool. Lisa, you don't have children, but how do you feel about the mums who do document their kids every moment?
I think it's, you know, up to the individual to do whatever they think is best. Listen, I personally am always on social media, so I really can't judge that, because that's probably what I would be like. I don't really know. But I do think the thing I hear from my friends that do have kids is that they want to enjoy the moments. And I think sometimes taking pictures is, you're not enjoying that moment, are you? Yeah. So I think, and they always say, oh God, they're growing up so quick, which obviously they do. So it's kind of like you've got to take that moment to actually be there and enjoy it. And also, I do think, I wonder what children who are little now are going to be like older, and how conscious they're going to be because of the fact that if a camera's been put in their face their whole lives and it's very different because it is on social media, how will that affect?
Totally. It's a tricky one, because if your job has been to be an influencer and share your life, and then suddenly you've got children, obviously they will probably creep in. And then I guess you're holding something back, aren't you, if you start not...
I don't know, I find it a difficult one, because if we use you as an example, yes, like so much of your life is on social media, but that's for beauty, right? So, so then there's a lot of women I follow, fashion bloggers, particularly a few in the States actually, who I followed for their fashion content, and now it's so much baby content, and that's okay, because there'll be an audience for that as well. I just creeped out by my level of knowledge about these people's children. And I'm a normal person, so that's it, that's fine.
I mean, what does mean more actually is that my youngest is almost two, and he smiles for the camera, and my four-year-old daughter is going, I'm just taking a selfie, I'm just taking a selfie, and she knows how to do these things, and I just think, oh my God, how do they know how to do that? And actually, it's my own fault. You know, it's my own fault. And I see my niece, who is 13, and the pictures she's putting up on Instagram and things, and it just with the pout and everything else, and I think, oh my God.
But it's such a scary time, because we are all learning, so none of us know what it's going to be like. We're, you know, social media is going faster than us, and we're kind of trying to figure it out and keep up to date, but then also like, oh, what are we doing? Will we regret it?
Exactly. You don't actually know, like, it might be fine for them, maybe it's completely fine, like who knows? But that's, I can imagine that's tricky.
Well, I think that with things like anxiety and depression and all of this stuff that's been so visible on social media, it's not having a positive effect on the younger kids, because they're learning all these words, and the effect you see it that it's having on the younger kids. And I just think, oh God, but you're right, we don't know how that's going to turn out in the end. But then listen, we don't know what Botox is going to be like in the end. We haven't had a turnaround of that. Everyone's face might collapse in 40 years.
We're basically screwed in every
way.
If you are interested in reading Helen's piece on how to find the perfect moments even when you least expect them, then do check it out on the site. Why are there so many adult scooters? This is the question that we asked ourselves last week. I feel like this story came up quite organically, because the topic of adult scooters comes up in the office quite a lot. Everybody's a bit divided on it. Lisa, where do you stand? Would you ride on a scooter?
No. It's just, I find it a bit weird. I don't know. Has anyone got one before?
No. We are all on the same page.
No, I'm not. I'm not on the same page as you.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, well, it's quick.
It's free.
It's free. Yeah, it's good exercise if you're not on the little motorised ones. So all of that, but I just think, get a bike. I don't know. I'm with you, Lisa.
Hang on. So a bike is like, A, an expensive investment. B, people die on the roads on a bike every single day. And C, like, what a schlap. I mean, if you've got, let's say, a 20-minute walk to your tube stop, you're not necessarily going to cycle there and then put your bike on the train or anything, but a scooter's a pretty easy way to do that.
Or you could walk.
You could walk, but to save time, you could scoot instead.
I have to say, I agree with Lisa. I mean, I think it's actually ridiculous.
When you actually think about it, like, why? That's what I'm trying to understand.
I just can't get on board. I just think you look ridiculous. Yeah. And then you've got to have the helmet. I mean, it's not very safe.
Oh, no, I don't think...
But you can't go on it without a helmet.
Yes, do you?
Absolutely.
Why are you on the pavement?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I think you need a helmet.
But also, that is another issue in itself, I think. Like, being on the pavement. Definitely. I mean, it's scary enough with small children, let alone adding adults and everything else. Yes. I just think, like, that's a whole other thing. So the other option is you're on the road.
Yeah, no, that's not okay.
I mean,
no,
that's just not okay. No. Actually, and also, I read that they go, the electric ones go up to 40 miles an hour.
I do feel like anything electric needs to be on the road. Like, that's better. If you're going to buy an electric one, you should be on the road as a cyclist. Yeah.
Well, it says actually in the feature, because I thought this was really interesting, it says if you ride them on the road, you get fined £300 and 6 points on your license.
Yes. Even if you have a driver's license or not.
Yeah, correct. But it also says they're not legal to ride on the pavement.
Exactly. So you annoy everyone. It's just a no.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I did have one. Basically, I had it for a day, because then a lot of grown up men had a go on it. That sounds awful, doesn't it? My boss, my dad, my brother, this is a few years ago. Everybody had a little scoot, and it ended up collapsing after after day one, so they're not made for big strong men. But that one day, it was the best thing ever. I live about a 12-minute walk from the train station, and it's all downhill, so I literally just like got on my scooter.
Was it electric?
Straight down. No.
Did you feel ridiculous?
Like a little bit, but this was about 4 years ago, and I feel like more and more people are doing it now.
Oh, I don't know, but also, so my daughter actually on Friday, she was on hers, she goes everywhere on hers, but she fell and it had two front teeth.
Ooh,
and, the idea that you could
do that.
Yeah, like pavements.
You're also falling from a much higher height as well.
And going really fast. I don't know.
Well, when we were in Paris for our show actually a few weeks ago, we really noticed the influx of, they've now got rentable scooters like Boris bikes. So that started in Paris and they now have the equivalent just scattered all down the street. And so it's even better. It's like, you know, those green bikes that are now all over London, but they're not in the Boris slots. Have you seen them?
Yes.
You'll start noticing them now. It's basically you can just pick it up.
But people can just leave them anywhere.
You can just leave them lying down in the park. What, and you just pick them up and go for a ride?
I mean, you have to pay. There's like an app. So in Paris, they have this for scooters. And I, for one, really would like that in London. I just think if you need to get from A to B and you're short of time.
But that is a really annoying idea anyway, because honestly, I've seen them outside like my house, this bike on the floor. And I'm like, what are you doing? Leaving your bike outside my house?
Oh, no.
Like, no. But also with a scooter, I just can't get... Yeah. They can't be on the pavement. Yeah. Like, imagine if you've got a kid... I've got two dogs. If I'm walking my dogs on the bed and the scooter goes by on the lead... Oh, my God,
Or you've got, like, a 90-year-old woman helping to the shops to get her milk and she's taken out by a...
I also think, you know, it's something else to carry. Yes. Like, let's say you're going on the tube. Something, I mean, I'm always laden down with bags, always, whether I'm alone or with the children, and... I just think it's another thing. Let's say you're going, let's say you're using it for a commute and you're getting then on the train. You've got something else to carry.
I had to fold it up. It was a foldable one. And also, I suppose the problem is it does stop spontaneous going out, doesn't it? Like, I hate going out if I've got like a parcel to carry or something. So it's a bit like off work drinks with your scooter.
You don't like them anymore, do you, Charlotte?
That's what they really put me off. No, I really like that, you know, we made this point in this piece that they are so good for the environment as well. I'm definitely guilty of taking too many Ubers. So as an alternative to that, I think why not? Less sweaty than a bike as well. I get hot if I was cycling, and I feel like a scooter you just kind of
I just want to see Charlotte on one.
I think you would. I think you just went downhill.
I went downhill and it was broken by the time I came back, so so that's that. Well, they're pretty affordable, that's what I'll say. If you do want to give it a go, mine was like 40 quid on Amazon or something, so you can give it a try.
I think I'll spend £40 on cocktails instead.
All right.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we have it's a relatively new feature on Sheer Luxe called hashtag Ask Us Anything. We ask our readers to send all their questions in, whether it's beauty, fashion, or just word for a big word thing. And our experts will answer the questions for you. So I'm going to put that to you guys now, because as an additional set of experts, because there were some pretty hot beauty questions this week. So, you ready?
Okay.
The first question was, I want to introduce harder working products into my skincare routine. What do you recommend more? Hyaluronic acid or retinol or both? Lisa?
Well, it's a hard one because, you know, they kind of do different things, but I think probably both if you think you need them. But the hyaluronic is more for hydration, really. You've got it naturally in your skin anyway. So if you're using hyaluronic, it's going to help plump up your skin. It's going to help, you know, make it look better. Whereas the retinol is more for anti-aging.
Yes.
That's right. So I think that you need both.
Okay. Tamara?
I would say you need both, but I'm a real retinol girl. I've upped it with every birthday.
Can I ask, with retinol, isn't it quite drying?
It is quite drying. It is quite drying. But I think what people need to do is just use it gradually. So don't use it every night, because also you have to only use it at night because it reacts with sunlight. So it can give you discoloration and everything. So you always use retinol products in the evening. But how I began using it was really to gradually include it in my skincare. So like every 4 nights, every 3 nights, every, you know, something like that. And give your skin a break as well. It is drying, but I think if you use the right moisturizer afterwards, you use like a rich night cream afterwards, after putting on your retinol, you shouldn't have be flaking off. It's not like you've got sunburn and you're peeling off your skin. Then you're definitely using the wrong retinol. It does give you a little tingling sensation at the beginning, but your skin does get used to it. But the idea is it is meant to shed your skin to a certain degree. I really love it, and my skin has definitely become smoother as a result
of
using it.
Yeah, your skin is amazing.
I mean, I think I use a lot of products. Not just the retinol, I just, you know, I use anything and everything.
So what retinol do you recommend?
Currently I'm using one from Estee Lauder, actually, but there's so many out there, so many to try. And I'm sure actually on the site we've done a retinol piece.
Is there anything specific you should be looking out for in your retinol? Like, you say there's so many out there, like if you're a complete beginner, is there an ingredient or is it
different percentages?
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Yeah.
And is that what you mean by building it up? So are you saying you use it more often, or are you saying you increase the percentage?
I think you can do either, really, but I think the main thing is you don't just go bang in and just start using it every single night and you've never used anything before. I think you've got to be, whether you've got sensitive skin or not, you've just got to gradually introduce it into your skincare.
And would you use it with hyaluronic acid as well?
I do. The reason being is because of the drying effect.
Yes.
So then the hyaluronic almost balances.
Yeah.
Brand-wise, things like The Ordinary are really good because they have the percentages on the bottle, don't they?
Yes, so you absolutely. Can
pick. And then Medic 8, they are amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've actually just created something called Retinate R, which is a new balance of retinol, and it basically means it doesn't necessarily affect your skin. You can just use it and not worry about the peeling and stuff. Mm. It's expensive, but I've been using it now for 3 months, one of the best skincare products I've ever used.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I have really dry skin. Could I use it? Do you think, Stay Clean?
Yeah, no, actually, it'll probably help your skin.
Really?
Yeah, I think it would help your skin if you're just using it, like tomorrow, so like 3 days a week, maybe in the evening, because actually what it does is it helps to renew your skin cells. So what could be happening is the dryness could be a top layer of your skin, and then you start using it and it will start to actually help, and then you use a hyaluronic and your moisturiser to hydrate.
Okay.
So you only need a really small amount. A really small
tiny
amount.
I'm quite new to the hyaluronic acid, so then
I was going
to
chuck it all on, girl.
And brands for hyaluronic acid?
So Hadalabo, Drunk Elephant, really,
really
great.
Good.
Kate Somerville. And then, you know, Lauder, they do have some really great ones as well.
I think there's something actually on every price point.
There
I mean,
is.
You mentioned The Ordinary, which is just so affordable. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to try something out and you think, you know, you don't want to go and spend £30 on a cream, understandably, that you don't know whether you want to use, you may react to, etc. It's a great way of just, again, introducing skincare without spending a fortune as well.
And brands like Elemis are really great as well, because they tend to have ranges. So they'll say, right, if you have got dry skin, you pick this. So they're really good at being specific like that.
And actually, if you're like me and you really don't know where to begin, then that's
Elemis, actually, their pro collagen range, I've tried so many things and my skin has just gone so dry, and I just can't get enough of this. Yeah. I use everything.
Yeah, the cleanser is
the cleanser.
The best.
Yeah, yeah, just it's so good.
Also,
so
it smells great, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
But change up something in your skincare routine every 6 months, because you have to think about, is your skin getting the same results that it did when you first started to use it? Probably not, because your skin becomes almost immune to certain products.
Oh.
So you don't need to change everything, but just throw something new in and see if you can see a difference.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a good tip.
Laura's like writing everything down.
Literally on Amazon. Go shopping. Okay, next up from one of our readers. Is there anything I can do to disguise and treat my varicose veins?
I think varicose veins is a tricky one. I think unless you have them, you don't realise they're really painful.
Are they?
Yeah, they're meant to be very, very painful. Mm. I think, you know, most people would use like compression stockings. Mm. I think you're meant to exercise a lot. You're meant to really, it's about boosting
circulation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So exercise, massage, there's specific creams like leg creams, so to speak, that you could use. But some people even have to turn to surgery because they're in so much pain.
Are they quite hereditary?
I've heard they are. But I think it's one of those things that I think you need to kind of get them zapped by surgery if they're really that bad.
And if you travel a lot, you can get them. There's a thing called the body balancer. I just had it done the other day, actually. It's like a sleeping bag that goes up just below your chest and all the way down your legs. And you put your legs in individually. And it's for lymphatic massage.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be amazing. Like, I have endometriosis, so it's supposed to be really great for like any bloating. It's supposed to be great for varicose vein. It's supposed to be great for cellulite. And for like 45 minutes, it's just does all these different pressure points on your body and just drains all of the excess fluid. It doesn't come out of your body. It kind of just moves it around.
And it's waist down.
Yeah, waist down.
As you can get lymphatic drainage massage.
And this is like a really kind of intense machine that you can do it. And it was so amazing.
Did you feel different afterwards?
Honestly, I'm always bloated constantly, you know, just from the endometriosis and IBS as well, constantly. It's the first time, and it lasted about a week, that I haven't felt. It was amazing.
And you go somewhere to have it done.
Yeah. I went to the Caridis clinic in St John's Wood, which is actually in the hospital there, and it's upstairs, but it's a cosmetic clinic. Right. But you just go there and put it on for 45 minutes. I think it's about £60.
Okay.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I thought you were going to say it was like hundreds.
No, I think it's about £60.
I would have done that pre-wedding. Yeah.
For like any big event, it's so good.
Yeah.
But also, if you do suffer from things like varicose veins, I believe you speak to them about it, but I believe it's great for that.
It is all about circulation. So I think moving, exercise, massage, anything that really stimulates the blood flow.
Yeah.
This does also recommend drinking apple cider vinegar in water and regularly adding garlic, ginger, turmeric and cayenne pepper to your diet. I guess it's all just like health and circulation.
Yeah, I think that's a diuretic as well. So I think it's just kind of getting
flushing things
exactly.
Finally, I suffer from eczema and I'm looking for makeup and skincare products that will suit my skin. Which do you recommend?
Honestly, when you've got eczema, the best thing to do is leave your skin to rest. Mm-hmm. I know it's like the worst thing to say to anyone that's got eczema, but I think that depending on how serious it is, you need to go to the doctor rather than be picking a skincare or makeup. Makeup is the worst thing that you can put on your skin, really. If you're going to go for makeup, something like Bare Minerals is probably better, but they're liquid products rather than their powder products, because obviously with eczema, it will be then more visible on the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But it does depend how bad it is. But I just think you have to go and see a specialist.
There is, this is slightly from a mother's point of view, but my daughter has quite bad eczema and we've tried loads of creams, but the Child's Farm sensitive range is, apparently it was created by a mum whose child
was.
She couldn't find anything that worked, and the scented stuff isn't so good, but the sensitive range is literally amazing.
And you think you could use it on an adult? And
I use it.
Wow.
And the kids love the packaging, because they've got like it's all horses and it's bright and it's, you know, animals all over the packaging and everything. I'm a big Child's Farm fan.
Is it all skincare for kids?
Like, it is. Bath and Body, it's skincare, but it is all for children.
But I have a friend who really, really struggles with it, and she's used it and said it was good.
Wow, fascinating. Yeah. So, Lisa, would your advice be generally with skin conditions, is it always better to avoid makeup? Is there anything that it doesn't really aggravate?
I mean, it's obviously like a really easy thing for me to say, because actually, if you want to be wearing makeup, you should be able to wear makeup. But I just think that if you can wear less, or particularly with your foundation, don't wear anything too heavy. So, you know, it's the same with acne, really. If you think about it, a lot of people then cake on the makeup to try and cover the issue, but then you're making the issue worse. So going for brands that are more organic is definitely better when you're using things like that. And if you get eczema on your eyes, which is so painful, and a lot of people do, really you have to avoid putting any eye makeup on. It is one of those things that the only thing that will help it is some sort of skincare and letting your skin breathe.
Yeah.
And making sure you take your makeup off properly at the end of the night if you do have it on.
Nasty on your eyelids, it's very sore, horrible. Alright, thanks. Well, I won't bore you with all my fashion questions, but one of them was that I'm looking for new bikinis. Can you recommend any cool brands for different budgets? I mean, we had a mix in there, didn't we? Peony is a brand that I love, which is on Net-a-Porter, and it's quite hard to find really feminine swimming stuff, and actually they do loads of florals and kind of vintagey shapes, so that's a good one to know. And Other Stories is my high street favourite, but also Beach Cafe, which is a brand who has a really great curated edit of
really gorgeous,
really nice swimwear. And actually, you know, we all know to go to Net-a-Porter and Matches, and they have a great selection, but if you want slightly less to shift through, then Beach Cafe have a really nice curation, don't they? Let's talk fashion now. It was the Met Gala last week, and I mean, I don't know about you, but this was like a hot topic here for a lot of last week, because I mean, there were some seriously mad outfits, weren't there? The theme was camp, in case you missed it. But obviously, that's pretty open to interpretation. So, Laura, any favourites?
So, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, she looked insane, did she not?
She really did.
Did she ever look bad?
That outfit was absolutely amazing.
The thing is, she never looks bad, but additionally...
She never gets it wrong.
I agree. Of course, she's beautiful and stunning, but she always looks so timeless, so elegant.
I just feel as well with this is that recently, like all the award ceremonies and the big fashion, I feel like we quite often are a bit like, it was good, but it wasn't. Whereas with this, I felt like there were so many that were just amazing.
Although no Rihanna.
She's the queen. Yes.
She's the queen of the Met.
She is. Although Cardi B, she filled those big boots, I think, this year, didn't she?
And I think Gaga always, I mean, four outfits. Yeah. She literally stripped off on the red carpet.
Amazing. I don't know about you guys, but I felt a bit like disappointed in her, only because with A Star Is Born, it was like, you know, she shed all of that image and this whole like costume, I'm so quirky thing, and became this kind of normal, real person.
And then she went back.
And then she went back a bit. And I was like, oh, I quite like the more authentic you, you know.
What did everyone think about Kim Kardashian?
I actually thought she looked incredible.
So did I.
Absolutely incredible.
So many different views on it. I was quite shocked, but at the same time I thought, how have you got this figure? You know what it must have been for her to kind of get in this dress. I was almost kind of quite infatuated by the way she looked. She looked unbelievable.
She wore a corset design, I can't remember the name of the designer, but by a guy who is like the leading
I think it was part of
designer.
Thierry Mugler.
So Thierry Mugler designed the dress, but the corset that went underneath it was designed by somebody different, who is like the leading corsetry person in the world. But I don't notice people's makeup. I really, really don't.
I was about to say, oh my god,
her makeup was flawless.
It was beautiful. Although I must say, I preferred her second outfit that she wore to the party. Did you see it with the glittery wig?
I did see it.
I loved both the outfits, but I thought for the theme, she should have worn that.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes. For the camp theme, and then worn that to the party.
The wet thing wasn't that camp, was it?
No. Yeah. And then that's the one thing I will say about the Met Gala, is that I don't think that everyone nailed the theme.
No, I agree.
I wish someone had worn a tent, just for jokes.
Even a flower crown, I did something.
I don't think everyone kind of nailed the theme. I don't think they ever do, but that's why I think Gaga, you're completely right, but I think for the theme, what she did was right.
I think often they don't really understand the theme, because there were a lot of people there who were in like fancy dress, but it certainly wasn't camp.
I also think they have a theme, but I think they also think, I also need to look good, I'm going to make papers, I'm going to be
correct.
So I think they'll keep the theme as much as they feel they need to keep the theme, and then they'll do whatever they want to do.
But whereas some, they obviously are trying to make the papers, but there's no, like Katy Perry in her burger costume. Did you see that?
Oh, I thought
she
got
she wore a chandelier.
Yeah, I saw the chandelier.
She wore the chandelier thing on the red carpet. Like it was a bit fancy dress.
Yeah.
And then she went and put on a giant burger costume, as if she was going to stand outside Burger King and rally people inside. It was just, I don't think that's camp or fashion. I think she really missed the mark on that one. Lisa, any favourites? So you like the people who really went for it then?
Yeah, from a makeup point of view, Ezra Miller. Did you see the eyes? So by Mimlers, I think that's how you say her name, the most amazing illusionist makeup artist.
That literally blew my mind.
I couldn't stop looking. For those who haven't seen it, he had, I think it was like one set of eyes drawn below his real eyes, then one above, and then a third eye almost on there. It was incredible.
So amazing. But yeah, so from a makeup point of view, I thought amazing. Do you know who I think didn't get it right? Ashley Graham. Did you see in the Gucci with
the hair clips? I loved the hair clips.
I didn't like the outfit.
I agree.
Yeah. I didn't like the tie and the kind of jacket. Yeah. I didn't like it. I didn't think it did anything for her, but the hair clips were amazing.
So cool.
I kind of wish that she hadn't worn all Gucci and that she'd worn just the hair clips and then something really beautiful.
Yeah, something feminine and pretty.
Yeah.
So, she had a long ponytail with like hundreds of Gucci hair clips going down.
That was gorgeous.
Amazing.
Lisa, did you like Sienna Miller's eyelashes? Did you like that look? She had quite a Renaissance look.
She looked like Marie Antoinette, didn't she? She had like a fake mole and she was in this hair.
Oh, no. I remember. Do you know, Sienna Miller is beautiful in a way, and I really love this. The lashes was a really big theme this year, but I do actually think that that was really beautiful.
I was just actually didn't think it went with the dress.
No, I agree. I think
it was just like two completely separate looks going on.
But I do quite like, because the dress was quite safe. She wore a dark silvery, it was almost 20s inspired dress. I like the fact that her makeup was then maybe more in reference to the trend.
I thought it made her look older though.
I actually thought
she looked a bit like Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, she does.
Can you see?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. She does, actually.
I think she's like Kate Moss there.
Oh,
yeah, they were wearing something similar.
Talking about Kate Moss, I think Kate Moss, Florence Welsh, I think they had the most beautiful capes on. Just, I loved that. Again, you know, Rosie did the same thing, just that beautiful.
Mm. Yeah. And Anna Wintour, kind of, she wore.
Oh, yeah, gorgeous. Kate was I think I saw a meme that was like, say, can't wear a cape. Yeah. Like, it was definitely a thing. And actually, I would wear, if we often look to the red carpet for fashion and beauty inspiration, and whilst it may not be the Met Gala that is the obvious choice, you could wear a cape over a dress if that's what we're looking for. If you're looking for something a bit different to cover up with for a wedding or an event, then why not? Probably not like Rosie's big marabou
feathered one.
Something like Mossy. I think that's pretty cool. Tamara, any fashion favourites?
I think the capes. I think Florence Welsh. I think Kate Moss. Mm. Emma Roberts.
I loved
Emma Roberts. Emma
was she
Roberts.
In the pink?
Yes.
And I have to say, I think it's quite a big dress for a small actress, so to speak. So I think it was so over the top, but so perfectly done, and still so chic and elegant, and the colour, and
it's
think she looked beautiful. Gorgeous.
I love that the colour as well isn't, it sounds silly to say it's not a sickly sweet pink, doesn't it? Cause, I mean, there's so much pink here, but it's got a coralness to it.
And her makeup and her hair was I loved it.
Is Lisa Eldridge? She usually does her makeup, so I can imagine it was probably Lisa Eldridge, but like, it's just beautiful.
Amazing. Lisa, any fashion favourites?
Oh, do you know, just because of the theme, I liked what Harry Styles wore in that see-through. I don't know if I would actually, you know, expected him to wear that, but I thought, I like it when people really go with a theme, and that was so camp.
Yeah,
it was like that see-through, you can't get more camp than that with that giant bow.
And he wore heels as
well. Heels,
he did.
For me, every year, Rihanna smashes it, and I really missed her this year.
Yeah. Well, one of my favourites was actually Anna Wintour. I have to say, Lisa, I'm the opposite of you. I agree with you, and I think you're completely right, but just in terms of what I'm attracted to it, it ain't the women in the stupid costumes. So, yeah, Anna Wintour was my favourite, because I think this is such a great example of taking one's own signature style and then making it more appropriate for day or night or whatever. So, you know, she always, without fail, wears a floral straight column dress and a big chunky necklace, and that is exactly what she said. She's obviously in Chanel, which
she looks amazing.
She's amazing. And then she just wore again a ridiculous cape over the top of it. She went for a maxi length. I love that it's her look, but with a bit of extra drama and flourish.
Yeah,
I think she's pretty cool.
Definitely.
Finally, let's talk about the tie-dye trend. Georgie made the headline of this in the email, something like the trend that we were hoping won't come back or something. But I thought,
That was me.
I think I quite like this trend, personally.
I love tie-dye.
I love tie-dye. Tamara,
I'm not a fan. I feel like it's got a really young vibe to it. I don't think I could carry tie-dye off. I also feel like, you know, it's really associated with that kind of hippie trend, and I don't know, it's like a bit messy about it as well.
I'm just surprised, because you do tend to wear relaxed
Absolutely.
I would have thought the tie-dye fitted into
that.
I think I would Tamara.
Yeah.
Not for you? Why is that?
Not for me. I just remember it in the 90s.
These fluorescents and the acids and like, just like, ooh.
Do you remember those t-shirts that when they got hot, they changed colour?
Do you remember? Yeah. No, I do not remember them, but they do sound cool.
Having said that, I have seen on Instagram people wearing them knotted on the beach with some high-waisted bikini
pants. It's still quite cool, but it's just not something
I'm not sure
I would
it's going to be a trend I'm wearing.
Fair enough. Lisa?
I love it. I mean, if they had like a pair of tied dungarees, I'd
We'll find you. We'll find that Charlotte's next girl.
Well, I feel like tied dungarees is not what's going to convince these two. But I actually, the reason that I'm on board with it now in this guise is because I think it's come back in such a more feminine way. I agree with you. There is no way I'm going to get in like a purple t-shirt that you could have made on summer camp. That's not my vibe. But there's so many very soft pastels. There's pretty dresses, there's slip skirts, and actually I think the colours all together, if you've got a mix of all those pastel colours together, that can look so feminine and
agreed.
So gorgeous.
Perhaps on a beach in Ibiza, I'm just not sure it's one.
That's fair enough.
Maybe also it depends if it was the tie-dye look on silk or the fabric, then that could look much more grown up, much more feminine, quite chic at the same time. But I think it's the tie-dye cotton.
The t-shirts.
I remember making them myself.
Yeah, me too. I love
that. You know, and I just find it a bit young.
A lot of big design names have been doing more satiny, silky styles. So I think Free People is the place to go for the look. If you don't want to spend a fortune right now, they are obviously very good at boho things. And they've got some really pretty dresses. I think just go for a summer dress, wear it with a tan. Some high heels. Great. Can't really go wrong. I think that's just about it for this week. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us, as always. If you do have any feedback, please do email podcast@sheerlux.com. We love to know your thoughts. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll be back next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.